Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for what we got done, for life and health and strength. And I pray, Lord, for your good hand upon us as we spend this time lifting up our praises and our prayer requests and our petitions. And Lord, just waiting for a word from you. Please watch over us, Lord. Please help us to grow and to learn. I pray you too for our sister churches, wherever they might be in the world, wherever someone's opening the King James and preaching the full counsel of it, Lord. I pray that you put your good hand upon them and the listeners too. Bless us now, Lord, and please lead and guide us through the service. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Did you come up with that? You never looked. My goodness. Not the word. Number 16 in the wee verse. No. Number 16 in the wee books is He Lifted Me.
I was thinking about that one right in front of you.
Thank you. Harry, you just come right ahead, brother.
Tonight's reading is from the first epistle of John, chapter 2. First John, chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, and ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, for if your sins are forgiven for you his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, that ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. The word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, for the last time as ye have heard that anarchists shall come, even now are there many anarchists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, and they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you, because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. But that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son, and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made up, promised us even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, then you need not that any man teach you. But he that same anointing teacheth ye of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as is hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not in shame before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him. Amen.
Everybody about the We RNG prayer list, please do make sure that you get one. I would ask you too that you would pray for Owen and Louise Doherty. Louise got some bad news about throat cancer, esophageal cancer. On Sunday there, they approached me up in the car park at the Crescent Link. So please do pray for them. Pray that the Lord be lifted up and glorified, and that all the things that people do, well, just that the Lord be lifted up and glorified. Is there anything else we need to be thinking on or praying about before we have another wee word of prayer? All good? Good job. Lord knows all of our private prayer requests. Does anybody have any private prayer requests though? Thing. Just keep praying for Frank. Pray for Will as well, and Miss Colin this evening. And of course, Pat and Steve. I was talking to Steve earlier on. His legs are still bad and still giving him a lot of bother. Please do pray for his health and for Pat as well. And do pray for each other. The Lord knows. Just make sure that you watch out for yourself. Keep yourself right with God and keep walking and talking to Him. That doesn't mean you just walk around like a headless chicken or like a blind man. The Lord gave us all of the things that are in the Bible so that we can adjust our lives accordingly. And I pray that you choose to walk with God. Really, just Lord knows our needs, to just pray about them all. Just ask them, whatever they might be. Right, we're going to have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Lord, just for your many helps and blessings. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, the many ministrations of angels. Thank you, Lord, for the free gift of everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for your Word, the life and health and strength that we have, and even the desire, Lord, to be here this evening. And I pray, Father, please, that you would even now consider our private prayer request, as well as the prayer requests we have here. I pray, Lord, for the Ritchie and the Hamilton families, the passing of a wife and a mother and a grandmother. I pray, Lord, for the royal family, much the same, Lord, for the passing of a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother. And I pray, Lord, for Owen and Louise Doherty. You know their needs, Lord, even at this time. And I pray, please, that you would minister to them, Lord, that you would help them to see and to hear and understand. I pray as well, Lord, this evening for each one of our private prayer requests, for our loved ones that don't yet know you as Savior, for friends and family, and even acquaintances, Lord, those that come across us should not be in any doubt that we're not like anybody else, Lord, but that we belong to you. I pray for our leaders, for Liz Truss, for Vladimir Putin, for Joe Biden, or whoever it is that's running America, for Australia and New Zealand and South America and Africa and Europe and Canada, Lord. There are so many people that really do need you at this time, Lord. For China and North and South Korea, and even Taiwan at this time, too. Lord, there's such a great need. Please even now constrain leaders, Lord, and point them in the right way. Give them a good sense to listen to. We just love you and thank you, Father. We pray that you'd be one of our number for the rest of this service, too. Amen. Amen. We hymn books again this time. If you want to scoot over to number 22, Mrs. Bradfield is going to play the keyboard music for that. It won't it be wonderful there, and we'll just remain seated for that.
Thank you.
him to sing on your way home after church, but either way, we need him all the time. Right. We're in Daniel this evening. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Whenever I give you the title, this will maybe help you with our message this evening, or remembrance of it, of the appropriate verses. It's called The Writing on the Wall. Daniel chapter 5. We're going to read it all. There's only 30 verses in it. Well, 29 of them anyway. And I want to spend a moment or two this evening in a very, very real and resonant message from a book that's maybe the guts of 2,000 years old. Amen. Daniel chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. That the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against candlesticks upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing, and show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in it, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jerusalem? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. And they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thy heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Teres, or upharsin. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then that night Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, just open our understanding and help us to see the relevance of this portion of Scripture to us today. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. Sometimes whenever there's a lot of names like that and there's a lot of places, I don't know about you, but a lot of Bible reading used to run straight over my head. I'm not saying it does for everybody, but it used to me. And unless there was a really striking name, like that name we had there a week or two back, does anybody remember? The hardest thing, was it? Yep. Unless it's a name like that, you remember you had a hard name, but you can't even remember what it is. So I'm going to go through here and give you a little bit of the Bible study and maybe a few thoughts on the three characters that are mentioned. First one is Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar by Nebuchadnezzar back in the day. Second one is Nebuchadnezzar. And the third is Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And as kings used to do, he had a feast one day. And he had 1,000 of his lords, on top of his concubines and princes and wives and this, that and the other. They all decided to have a party. Now you should know that unless it's a Christian party, there's going to be alcohol involved. And there was lots of drinking. I've even heard alcohol referred to as Dutch courage because it gives you courage that isn't really there. And so whenever they're partying and things are going well, Belshazzar calls for all of the gold and the silver vessels that were taken out of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Things that had been consecrated and made holy for the service that the priests did in the worshipping and praising and offering sacrifices to God. And so whenever they're drinking out of them, And they're praising the gods of gold and silver and wood and stone. In other words, they're worshipping their idols and saying how great they are and look where they've brought them to. A man's hand appears. And it writes on the wall many, many type of parson. Probably in the ancient Hebrew. I'm not a student of languages. I can just about make my way through English. And because he insulted God, and because he refused to follow God, even after having the powerful example of his own dad, God said, "Your time's up." Now this wasn't just something that happened, because Belshazzar had obviously made a lifetime of just doing whatsoever he wanted. He didn't know Daniel. He said he had heard of him, so he hadn't been listening to any Christian counsel whatsoever. In fact, he may even have seen it as a weakness to listen to Christians, because look what happened to his dad. His dad had his mind stolen for 7 years after Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel interpreted the dream to say that his mind would be stolen from him and he would be treated like an animal for 7 years, and that happened. And afterwards, Nebuchadnezzar looked up and glorified the God of heaven. I believe we will see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven whenever we get there. And so, he was worshipping the gods of the people of Babylon, who had seemingly won this great victory over the whole wide world. They didn't know that God had used Babylon to teach the children of Israel a lesson. And he didn't want anything to do with Christianity, but he just went about his business. And a lifetime of just going about your business instead of God's business, brought him to the point where he felt free and brave enough to insult God and to take the things that were holy and use them and profane them in the sight of everybody, all the time praising idols. God does not let things like that lie, and his hand appears and writes basically the death sentence for the Persian Empire on the wall. Now, the unfortunate thing about it is that because they had nothing to do with Daniel, they didn't know it was Hebrew or whatever language it is. They didn't know that Daniel could have told them exactly what it was. In fact, they didn't even know that they shouldn't be doing the things that they were doing, because they never entertained Daniel's advice. And this put the fear of God, literal fear of God, in them. If a hand appeared suddenly and started writing on that wall, even those words there, we would know for a fact that this church was not doing the job properly. That's what happened. The Bible says that Belshazzar's knees knocked together. He was that afraid. The joints of his loins were loose. He may even have wet himself. The fear was that great upon him. The queen comes in and she remembers Daniel. Imagine the man that was such a great help to your father, was such a comfort to him as he drew towards the end of his life. Imagine the man that whose own brethren were able to walk about in a fiery furnace. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three men in the fire? Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. They were thrown in the fire for not listening to the king. And they survived. And there wasn't even the smell of smoke on them. The queen recalls Daniel and recounts his pedigree. All the wonderful things that Daniel has been able to do and to help Belshazzar's dad in. And he says, Nebuchadnezzar says to him, you knew all the things that your father had gone through. You knew that whenever he lifted up his heart before God, that God knocked him flat on his tail. And you knew of the 7 years that he lived like an animal with his nails growing like an eagle's claws, eating grass like an ox, and the hairs on his back growing like feathers, and the dew would light on them and wet his back. You knew all of this, and yet you never humbled yourself. In fact, you know what he probably did? He probably said, Daniel, we're not going to listen to old fogies like you. This is a new age. I'm going to listen to the astrologers and the Chaldeans and all of these other people that are much more up to date, in other words, that are telling me things that I like to hear. I can only imagine the conversation that went back and forth, but it didn't work out very well for him. You have insulted God, or a man in such a position that God could have continued to use, but God also prophesied the end of his reign. You have insulted God. God is not mocked, and there are consequences coming. In just the same way that it wasn't one day that caused Israel to go into captivity in the first place, it was decades of rebellion and disobedience against God. Hand and heart, it was a lifetime of living like a wee devil and just getting his hands on the throne and the power behind it that made Belshazzar the man he was. The words, many, many, your kingdom has been numbered. In other words, God has looked at everything that has been done in your kingdom. He has taken an account of it. Tekel, it has been weighed in the balances. In other words, is it good enough to continue, or does it need to be gotten rid of? And it says in the next word, Upharsin or Perez, it has been given to the Medes and the Persians. In other words, you've dropped the ball. Now, even though Daniel told him this, and this is the thing, I am sure Daniel, he was an older man now. He didn't need the power. I'm sure he probably didn't want the responsibility, especially in a kingdom that was so given over to paganism and devil worship. And he says, I don't want anything, none of your rewards, but I will tell you. And it goes some way, I should hope, to showing us that how temporary the rewards and the glories of this world are, because the last verse or two in this portion of God's word show us that, what does it say? Was it that night? And that night, the Medes and the Persians snuck into the city and they killed the king. But even for Daniel, being made the third ruler in the kingdom, they kept him on. And King Darius, he kept him on as an advisor. In fact, it pleased Darius to set Daniel over the 120 princes. Daniel was still a man of authority and wisdom. And if there was ever a wee bit of scripture that spoke more plainly of right now, even though this was written thousands of years ago, it's this right now. Because we live in a day where most of our leaders are just like Belshazzar. They ignore the wisdom of bygone years. They don't like to listen to anybody that points them to God or reminds them that they're just men, they're nothing special. And they mock and belittle Christianity, God's spiritual people, and the Jews, God's physical people. In fact, they go so far as to put so many of us to death and have done for thousands of years. They even want to pervert the things that are left behind. The churches that will dare to preach the gospel. If you think even now of the Protestant church and the Catholic church and a lot of the other wee hangers on, You will see that many of them are all, in fact, what was the what verse, what church does Drew go to? Is it the Baptist church? Is it the Reformed out there church of rainbow flags and pink and purple or something like that? I have a cousin that goes to a church that got bent out of shape whenever the laws allowing people to murder babies in the womb got repealed a little bit. And the world, the flesh and the devil has done its best to force Christians to say that it's okay to do all of these things. They force Christians to agree with homosexuality, with living together, with adultery, with child abuse, with lying and murdering, with gay marriage, with the mutilation of the young and old alike, and they call it transsexuality or something like that. Encourage. I remember going into Frank Long's a few years ago, and on the front of one of the newspapers, I don't know which one it was, it says, "Technology will be our savior." That's what it said. And that's what people are looking to. They're looking to all. Our gods are not gold and silver and stone. They're silicone. They're, well, gold might still be a god to a lot of people. It's silicone and land and computational power and speed and fitness and youth. These are the gods that we worship these days. And the gods of bygone years that kept families together and people's heads screwed on are forsaken. And if anybody dares to stand up and say anything, you're the worst in the world. You're ignored. You're sidelined. So much so that the teachings of God are forgotten. And the number of times I come across something along this is an American thing, but somebody put up, if they had children today memorizing the Ten Commandments and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, it wouldn't be half the bother in America that there is right now. In other words, believers in God and loyal to their countries. We as a creature, mankind has become like Belshazzar. We have had so many examples of God in our history. We have the creation of the world, which people say didn't happen, but the man I put my faith in spoke about it a few times. Jesus. We have more recent examples would be, of course, Israel becoming a nation in spite of even the West trying to stop it. It has been restored. It has been lifted up. It has been divinely protected, supernaturally so. People don't like that. And the Bible says Israel is an example of what's happening in the world today. People have become proud and covetous and boasters. They're more likely to listen to their feelings than to good teaching or good advice. They're mockers of those that are good. Even the ministers are good for nothing. They're traitors, actually. They're worse than good for nothing. Religion has become something to placate the masses as they're taken advantage of. Our leaders have become the literal kings, and that has never been more evident than the past couple of years, when it has been quite plainly shown that they have no regard for the laws that they foist upon Joe Public. All they want is their pleasure and their riches. And in spite of the revivals over the last 150 years, and the evidence of God in the lives of saved souls, and the repeated failures of secular leadership, of science and so many belief systems in helping people, they still insult God and his people and continue on in their ways. And I want to tell you something, friends. See, this is the writing on the wall. The prophecies of the Bible are like God's words written on that wall. And yes, a lot of people can't take it, won't listen to it, and won't even understand it. But I am telling you now, the world has been numbered. It has fallen far, far short. And this kingdom will shortly be taken and given to another. Only this time it won't be some king. It will be God Almighty. And he'll sit on his throne in Jerusalem. And he'll rule the world with the rod of iron. Because people have wandered too far, they're going to need someone like Daniel to tell them the truth of it all. And that's where you and I come in. You owe it. Because God commands you to do it. To understand enough of the Bible to point folks to God before it's everlasting to you. There are so many prophecies that were made thousands of years ago trying to describe things that we take just as take for granted as just everyday things. Our communications, our computers, our access to information. All of these things, our ability to wipe out everything in the world, all these things were mentioned by Jesus in the Gospels. As we look around and see, this is the writing on the wall. Make sure you look up. Remember we spoke about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, and was it just this past week? Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and Christ referred to it that he would be lifted up, that all men would see him and come to him, or at least have the opportunity. As we look around and see this writing on the wall, make sure you look up and keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And remember that our redemption and our salvation from this world doesn't come from the things that we can put our hands on, even our own hands. It comes from Jesus. In Luke 21 and 28 it says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." The writing's on the wall, friends. Judgment is coming, and the only way to avoid it is to be on the Lord's side. What is that song? Who's on the Lord's side? We'll sing that one if I can find the number for it. Amen. And number 406. 406. We'll stand to sing "Who is on the Lord's side." Appreciate your time and attention this evening. I know some days are more difficult than others whenever it comes to doing stuff, but I appreciate it.
Thank you.
bless you, safe travels home, and wherever else it is that you might be traveling during the week. Let's close our eyes and we'll bow our heads, we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wee bit of time aside from the world. Please bless it to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would watch over us and convict us and help us and comfort us, strengthen us and give us all of that stuff, that daily bread that we need, Lord, each day to be a good child. Love you and thank you. Please be with our absent brethren. Please save those lost souls, Lord. Folks on the road and those that listen to me, not see it, Lord, please, I pray, speak them about it. Leave these things at your feet and pray that you will grant them according to your will. And I ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Take care.